Does someone here have a smartphone? I suppose this is Cape Town, you probably all have. Okay. Neatling, you my man. Won't you Google for me or something so long? You can just put up your hand when you've got the answer. What? Oh. Reveal the phone, the device. Okay. What day is today? Now, I know it's Sunday. It might sound like a stupid question. But somewhere in the world, I think every day of the calendar is some other national day of something. If you get my drift, you know, National Braai Day, National, you know, Chicken Day, whatever it might be. You look that up for me so long and you can put up your hand. I don't have a clue what it is. So it'll be interesting for me to know. But the Lord has laid on my heart for a while to actually share something around this with you guys here in Cape Town. I'm not very far from you. Most of you know me, Tians. I'm the other Tians from Table View. So just around the bay there, on the west coast. And things are going well out there. I bring greetings and love and Niku from Table View. So you guys know Niku as well. And yeah, we just want to be a blessing to you guys this morning and we'd love to pray for you after the service. But life in Cape Town is a bit different from life in Table View in many respects, although there's a lot of people in Table View that commute and work here, obviously. I think you guys are a little bit more in the fast lane of a 5-lane highway. And I understand that at this time of year, if you guys are you know, anything like me, then you probably wish that it was the 16th of December now, and that's, you know, December holidays in a week's time. Some of us, anyone here feeling a little bit weary, it's been a long year, the year's gone by quickly, maybe a bit like a blur, but it's taken its toll on some of us, and we're feeling maybe just a little under 100% capacity this morning. You're in the right place. This is really where we recharge. And that's in God's presence. And there's a special anointing when we come together like this. I want to read for you from Luke chapter 10, a well-known portion of Mary and Martha. This is out of the English Standard Version. Sermon title is The Good Portion. We'll see why. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." If there's a good portion, then there's certainly a less good, or maybe even a bad portion. How many of you want to choose the bad portion, or have the bad portion? Wow, okay, there's agreement here this morning. We can move somewhere, we can go forward. We all want to choose the good portion. You know, and I think, like for many of the rugby teams around the world this morning, it's, for us, yeah, in a sense, I feel it's back to the drawing board. You know, we're moving towards the end of the year. Many times, if we don't hit the year in January, if we don't hit it running, hit the deck running, then it kind of, opportunities and all sorts of things are just going to miss you by. It's amazing how, come 1st of January, for many people, maybe only on the 2nd of January, you really feel excited about the year and charged up and ready to go. But it's amazing how you kind of, you got almost like Twitter awesome. It's just kicked in. You really re-energized again. You've had a bit of a break and whatever. And you really feel different then on the 1st of December. And, you know, the Lord has times and seasons. And there's time to work and there's time to rest. And for us, we're going to go into that rest period. But boy, when we come out the blocks in January, you better hit the ground running, especially out here in Cape Town in the fast lane. Otherwise, you're going to miss some things. So it's about slowing down now, but planning as well. We need to plan ahead. We need to know what God's heart is for us for next year. So I want to encourage you, it's maybe this is now the back to the drawing board season as the different churches, we preparing our calendars for the year ahead and so on. You know, Pastor Fred, he's a visionary and he looks, you know, a couple of years down the line and he'd love us all to have a calendar prepared, you know, ready for 2013 and so on. You know, we're just trying to catch up with him and keep up with him and that's awesome. But for us on a personal capacity, you know, what are your goals for your family? What are your goals for your workplace? What are your goals for your spiritual growth and involvement in church and building the local body? You know, we need to start thinking of those things. But some of us, you know, we're feeling a bit wary. I just want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you that the Lord's blessing rests on rest. Specific rest, rest in Him. He said, if you're feeling weary, come to me, I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Okay, some of us, we are, ons trek swaar, it's, you know, we're feeling really worn out and whatever, and there's a yoke upon us, and it's heavy. Then we can know that we've maybe added to the yoke that the Lord has given us, or maybe we've exchanged the yoke that the Lord gave us initially, or we've never come to exchanging the yoke in the first place. We've never taken what the Lord has in store for us. But here's an example with Martha and Mary, which I think is quite appropriate. And I think many of us can identify with Martha in many respects. There, Jesus is in your living room. You know, this is, just think, imagine the Queen of England was coming for tea this afternoon at your house. You wouldn't be here now. You'd be vacuuming, you know, scrubbing the windowsills with the toothbrush. You'd be, you know, because I mean, she's used to like this standard of excellence. Now imagine the King of all kings in your own living room. Not many people have had that pleasure in their lifetime. Mary and Martha did. They were special to the Lord. They knew Him. They both knew Him. And He's there in their living room. But now you've got two contrasting responses. You've got Martha who's running around like a Malko Buner, you know, because she's obviously probably doing the roast and the potatoes and, you know, a bit of Mrs. Ball's chutney on the side and maybe a bit of curry and all these, all the nice things that you would put out. And she needs a bit of help, understandably so. She wants everything to be perfect and so on. Jesus is busy teaching in her living room and she's out there in the kitchen. She's wondering, she's coming in and she's getting more and more flustered. Eventually, you know, I don't think it was after a minute or two, but eventually, maybe after an hour, she's like, you know, Lord, please just tell Mary to come and help me now. Mary is busy sitting there at the Lord's feet, listening to Him. And what is the Lord's response? The Lord can see Martha's troubled. She's anxious. She's wound up. She's worked up. And He says to her, I can see you're anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. We need to decide, sometimes when we feel tired and we're weary and we run down, we need to go back to the drawing board immediately. That's a sure sign that we're missing somewhere along the line. Because if the Lord's yoke is easy and light, then we're not going to get tired like that. So either we're not scheduling our rest and we're not taking rest, or we're missing completely what the Lord would have us do. And many of us are serving. Martha was serving in the service of the Lord. She was definitely doing something to try and make the Lord's stay, you know, more pleasurable and enjoyable. Probably, you know, serving up some, wanting to prepare some food or something. Many of us, even in the church, and we're really involved in church things, and we get tired, and we're doing the Lord's work. But what I want to ask you is that what the Lord asked you to do? Because there's a lot of work out there. There's a lot of work out there. It's impossible that any one of us can do everything out there. Even Jesus didn't, He didn't heal all the sick people that were out there. He healed everyone that came to Him. And everyone that asked for healing. But He didn't heal every sick person that existed on the planet when He was here. There's a lot of work out there. But that's why we're a body. That's why we can do more, Jesus said, than what He even did, because we're working together as His body. So some things that you're involved with are actually meant for someone else to be doing. So first of all, you know, you don't have 100% the anointing to do it according to exactly how Jesus wanted it done. You're actually stealing opportunity from someone else, and at the same time, you're actually missing what you are meant to be doing and what you are anointed for. So I just want to encourage you guys, if you're feeling tired and weary, because I know it's that time of year, we need to rest, We need to find out, what is it, Lord, that you want me to be doing now? And it's a good time also to plan and prepare for next year, that we don't fall into the same trap. Because in this life, and with the Lord, we've started strong. I mean, hallelujah. You think back to the day you got saved, the joy of your salvation, it's so awesome. What's more important how you start is how you finish. We need to make sure we finish strong. Too many great men of God fall off the bus before the finish line. And they fall into sin and temptation, all these kind of things. Because they've taken the eyes of Jesus. One thing is necessary. Come sit at my feet. Listen to what I have to say. Don't go running off in presumption, thinking you know what I want you to do. No, come and listen. And when we're walking in the Lord's will, then there's none of this weariness and this feeling like I can't continue or I need to bail out. You know. So we need to come back to what is necessary. So Martha was very distracted. What do we do when we start getting anxious and distracted? We start complaining. We start comparing ourselves to someone else. We start looking, you know, but that person's not doing anything. Why is it always me that has to do everything? Okay. Firstly, we need to find out, is that what the Lord wants you to do? Because then you can make peace with everything else. It's important that we focus and we make sure that we are in God's will. Don't be so worried about what the person next to you is doing for God. You're not even going to be there when God judges that person. But it's going to be you and the Lord one day, and He's going to ask, did you do what I asked you to do? Okay, and don't take that as condemning, take it as encouraging, that we can know. We can know what God is for us, what He wants for us. So we mustn't compare husbands and wives, and often we want to change each other and whatever, and we're so focused on, you know, you need to change this and this and this. No, we need to focus on ourselves. That's when the Christian life gets meaning. That's when it works, is when we allow God to change us. The most and first important relationship in our lives is us and God. One of us has to change, and that's not God. It's us. We need to ask Him. We're all after significance. We all want to achieve something, accomplish something in this life. We want something fancy written on our tombstone one day. Significance you're only going to find in your relationship with Jesus. Not in doing. You cannot become more significant by doing more. Running around like a headless chicken, you're not going to become more significant. Your significance lies in knowing and understanding what God wants you to do and then doing that. So what I want to ask you today is get back to the basics. After we come to salvation, if you want to succinctly summarize it, what do you have to do? We need to pray and obey. That's what Joyce Meyer always says. Pray and obey. That's all we have to do. Pray and obey. Now we've kind of rebranded our prayer time slot at church, and we call it Stop and Listen. Stop and Listen. And it's, for me, that's quite inviting in the busyness of daily life. Just the idea of stopping. That sounds good to me. We got two little kids at home, and there's no stopping. They are, you know, it's like winding up this little Energizer bunny that never stops. You know, it's like solar-powered, deluxe. It's got a battery pack in case the solar doesn't work, you know, and they keep going. They say that if an adult follows a two-year-old around for 3 days, does everything they do, you will die of exhaustion, literally. I can testify. You know, I've relied on God many a time for grace and energy. Nico, your little one's getting there. Okay. I'm going to run through a few things very quickly because I know our time is short. But it's about knowing what God's will is for us, about hearing His voice. How does God speak to us? You know all of this. There's many different ways through His Word. Psalm 119, you can go and read all about His Word there. Lamp to my feet, light to my path. Gives us direction where God is telling us where to go. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. There we learn that the Word is inspired by God and it's profitable for instruction, for correction, reproof, that we may be complete. It's God telling us how to. His word tells us where to and how to. I believe that God has given us His word. It's freely available for us in this country. And so for us, I believe that mostly He'll speak to us through His word, because it also requires some form of commitment on our side, because we actually need to open the Bible next to our beds and read it. He speaks to us through people as well. Obviously, Romans 10, how are they to hear without someone preaching? Speaks to us through, well, through people via the Spirit, prophecy, words of knowledge and wisdom, tongues, interpretation of tongues. He speaks to us thirdly also through dreams and visions. Joel chapter 2, you know, your old men will dream dreams and your young men see visions. And you see that very often when you go on outreach to the Far East and the Middle East, where the Word of God is not as easily accessible. God speaking to them often through dreams and visions and bringing about great transformation in people's lives there. Virtually every pastor that I met when I was in India came to the Lord via a dream that they had. Amazing. And really such a powerful revelation that they were able to lay down everything in their life and, you know, even status in society and everything, and endure much persecution based on that one revelation that they have had of God. God speaks to us through nature. That's how come I ended up in Tableview. God actually showed me through the clouds, through a cloud formation, that I was to go to Tableview. Very interesting. You can, if you want to know more, we can speak later. It's the first time God did that with me, so I found that quite cool. Abraham, of course, God always reminded him through showing him the stars, what He said to him. God can use animals to speak to us. I haven't heard one like that recently, but there's a cool clip on some funny website or something of dogs that actually are quite good at speaking or saying short phrases. Should I say it like that? But the Lord actually used Balaam's donkey to bring him a message. So that was quite cool. God obviously speaks to, some people have heard His voice audibly. Paul and so on. Pastor Fred. And I think that's quite a privilege. Spirit to spirit. Romans chapter 8. God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. John chapter 16. The Spirit of truth. That's going to be teaching us all things, that convicts us, sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then also our conscience. God also speaks to our conscience in Romans chapter 2, that the law is written on our hearts and our conscience also bears witness, so that our thoughts either accuse or excuse us. All right. As I said, I was going very quickly. Nietling, do we have an answer yet? Is there one? What is it? World food. I wasn't far off, eh? Roast chicken. Yummy. Okay. World Food Day. Very interesting. Yeah. I actually can't remember where I wanted to go with that. But just so you know, it's World Food Day. So make sure you've got to have a decent lunch and celebrate World Food Day. Okay. Thanks. There's a bit of trivia for us this morning. How do we know that God is speaking to us? Okay, this is maybe a bit more important for some of us. First, in John 10, we read that that we know His voice. The sheep know His voice. Okay, so we actually can discern when God is speaking to us. If you're a child of God, yeah, you can expect God to speak to you, and you can ask Him to help you know His voice. The more time you spend with Him, the better you're going to learn His voice. In John chapter 16. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. Not speak on His own authority. Whatever He hears, He will speak. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. There's a very important key, that when God speaks, Jesus is always glorified. And it's never the contrary. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19-21. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies, but test everything. And hold fast what is good. You guys know the expression, chew the meat and spit out the bones? Those are wise words to live by. We need to test. If something is from God, it will never contradict the written word, the Logos word of God. Remember, the Bible is Jesus in print. He is the word of God. That is truth. The Bible is the full revelation of God. There's just no one on the planet that 100% gets it yet. but we're growing in that, and we help each other, we learn from each other. But it's important, whenever anyone says anything, prays anything over you, whatever it might be, to test that against the Word of God. Okay. So, because you get a lot of people, I think last time I was here, we spoke a bit about deceptions and so on creeping in, and there's been all sorts of warnings in that area for this year, and it certainly came to pass, the challenges and so on regarding that, but we need to test. So Jesus must be glorified, and it mustn't contradict the Word of God. That's how we can know that it is God speaking to us. And there's a nice portion of Scripture, 1 Kings chapter 19, 11 to 12, of Elijah. The Lord told him to go and stand there in the cleft of the rock face. And the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in a fire, and after the fire the sound of a low whisper. Think of all those things, a mighty rushing wind that can break rocks, an earthquake, a fire. When we think of the greatness of God, we would expect Him, out of the four options, that He would definitely not be number four, but most likely 1, 2, 3. You know, and that is, ironically, not how He operates with us. He doesn't want there to be confusion. He doesn't want there to be fear. You step out in an earthquake, you're going to get hurt. And sometimes we've got preconceived ideas of how God wants to speak to us. And actually, we've put God in a box. He's bigger than that. He can do all of that, and He does. And sometimes it's necessary. Some people actually need to get to that place.